is. Have goodness, the fruit of the Spirit, goodness. And poor old goodness is going to sit there going, every time I say goodness, she's going to jump out of her seat and wonder if she's been called forward. Is there some problem? What is it? But goodness, it's okay. That's what we're going to talk about, is goodness. The sixth fruit of the Spirit. Let's pray before we just go a bit further. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word speaks to us. We thank you that your word is alive and active. And I pray today, speak to us through your word. Holy Spirit, do your work amongst us. Lord, where we need a word of encouragement, encourage us. Where we need to be strengthened, strengthen us. Where we need to be moved on in you, Lord, move us on by your Spirit. In your powerful name, Jesus. Amen. 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 So, if we go with... it's on. Oh, good. Okay. Oh, yeah. So this... Okay. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. This is Galatians 5, verse 22, if you want to look it up, or if you want to turn up in your phones. But if you're looking in your phones, remember, God sees you if you look at your social media. Or if you're texting... Okay, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified him there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another, or be jealous of one another. So we're looking at this sixth fruit, goodness. What is the meaning of goodness in the English language, in the dictionary? Well, it says this: the meaning is morally good or virtuous. That's the meaning in the dictionary definition. However, biblical terms, goodness goes a lot further. So when we strive to be good, it's only for our own benefit. Whereas the Greek word, agathosine, I think I've said that right. I should have just said it confidently and you wouldn't have known. Means an uprightness of heart and life. Heart and life. Not just an action, it is an action, but it's also about coming from the inner workings of our lives. It's an inner thing. And that's why we're here, we're seeing it as a fruit of the Spirit. It comes from within us. I just want to show you this picture. This is a flower, the biggest flower that you can find in the world. It is grown in a number of glass houses. And down in Cornwall, there is a place called the Eden Project, which has these big glass houses. And this flower is grown there. Who knows? It might soon be growing in Dundee, the largest flower. It is called the Titan Arum. It is an impressive flower. Large. People flock to see it. For 48 hours it opens. However, there is one problem with the Titan Arum. It is large, but it stinks. Absolute reeks. Apparently, in the last time it flowered in the Eden Project, it could be smelt half a mile away. I'm not sure we want it in Dundee, but anyway. Apparently it smells like rotting flesh, gone off cheese, or decomposing rat. Nice, eh? Okay, why do I show you this? Well, many people want to see and be shown for their goodness. They make a big play of it. But when you get close, half a mile away, it reeks. It stinks. Because it isn't really goodness. It's not about heart and life. It is just about trying to look good so that you get your own benefit. Our examples of goodness in our life need to pass the smell test. Do they smell of Jesus? Do we smell of Jesus? We have a word now in modern society for this type of goodness. It's called virtue signaling, trying to look good to others publicly. Politicians, celebrities, people in the media try and do this. Look good, virtue signaling. But that's clearly not what this is about. It's about heart and life. It's about passing the smell test. How do you smell today? And that's not just whether you've put on links or whatever else that you decided to put on today. How do you smell when it comes to goodness? But good is one of those words where we need to take it apart a bit, isn't it? Because it's become a bit easy. You know, it's like, you know, we say good morning, good day, good luck. So we're using good like that. Or how are you? Good, we might say. It's become overused. And so doesn't really have its meaning as we'd like it. It's lost some of its meaning. But who is good? Who is really good? How do we get a definition of what good is really all about? Well, Jesus says this, why do you call me good? And I think I have got this as a slide. Why do you call me good? Jesus asked. No one is good except God alone. Only God is truly good. So God is the real definition of good. If you want to know what good is, then look at God. Look at good and goodness in the Bible and how it's defined by God. So God is really the definition. Literally, goodness is godliness. God defines the word good in the Bible. It's full of the goodness of God. We see this God and goodness. It's there, the goodness of God. God is good. But we've kind of done something as well. As I say, the word good is overused, but also we've decided that we need to kind of add other words. So people go, I felt super good today. You know, when cyclists, I watch a lot of cycling and I really enjoy watching the cycling, but at the end, I felt super good today. Could you not just say, I felt good today? No, but like, I'm super good today. You know, and then, I mean, you've got the sort of, you know, we've got to go the next level. Awesome. Everything's awesome. It's awesome. And then you've got the sort of Britain Got Talent. They smashed it. They owned it. They made the stage theirs. Oh, yeah. But why can't we just say they're good? Because actually, that is good enough. God is good enough, and he defines us as good, is himself as good. Do you remember right at the beginning of the Bible, what the Bible says? On day one, God created each day. And what did he say? Oh, that's okay. No, he said it's good. He looked at what he made. He threw the stars into space and he went, that's good. And then when he made the animals, he went, that's good. And when he created the oceans, he went, that's good. And then on the sixth day, he created human beings. And what did he say then? That's very good. That's very good. So delighted that he created in his own image, human beings, you and me. Surely that's where we need to get our sense of what the goodness of God is. It's from God. And that's where we need to find it. Goodness is the very heart of God for us. And we can read in his word. And one of the things that disturbs me is the lack of people reading his word. How can you know about the goodness of God unless you read the word? 6% in the Open Jesus, it was a Jesus Speaking Jesus project, they found that 6% of young people are reading the Bible. They're finding the statistic that they're in churches, there are as many people outside the church, I think I've got this right, that are reading the Bible once a month as they're inside the church reading the Bible. If you want to know about the goodness of God, you want to know about good God, you've got to read the Bible. Because that's where it's revealed. Spend time with him, yeah, but also read the word. And I can tell you, your phone just isn't going to do it. You can read all your social media to day come end, and you're not going to find the goodness of God there. You need to read the Word of God. Get into the Word of God. I call all you folks, brothers and sisters, please read the Word of God. I urge you. If we do not, then we are going to fall adrift in this world. We haven't got a hope. There are so many winds against us. We need the Word of God, and we need to be reading it. That's where we find out where God is about. So what else we read? Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23:6. Or this, yet I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I'm here in the land of the living. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Come on, church, let's read his word and find in his word that he is good. 61 times, and I haven't counted them all, there's probably more, that the Bible says that God is good and so much more. God is good. Let's read of him, read about him, and learn what it is, that his goodness, his kindness to us. But not only that, God is good. He is kind to you, and he has grace for you today. His God's offer of goodness to you is he offers salvation, and that is what Stephen offered around the communion table, God's goodness. At just the right time, I heard on the day of salvation, I heard you on the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. God's kindness and goodness, as some translations write, means that he has offered us salvation. That's his goodness to us. And now is the day. Now is the day. Now is the time to take hold of this. Don't leave it another day. If you're thinking, I'll put it off. That's what I did as a youngster growing up. I thought, I will wait. I'll have a good time. And then I'll decide. And at 13, it became clear to me, now is the day of salvation. Now is the moment I need to take hold of the salvation Jesus is offering me. And I became a Christian. There wasn't a massive choir of angels. I was just in a little tent in a field near Aviemore. But that's when I said, yes, now is the day of salvation. Now is the time. Do you know, it's amazing what God has done for us. I mean, you know, I was just up at the park at the weekend because we were doing our 500th park run. And there I was, we're running, and there's massive trucks picking up all the stuff from the Radio 1 big weekend that happened up there. And what they're taking away is all the fences. Because you see, what they needed to do is fence it round so no one could get in that shouldn't get in. They only wanted ticket holders to get in. And actually, they didn't even want people to see in. So they put it so it was just no one could see. There was no access to the event unless you had a ticket. If you didn't have a ticket, you weren't going in. I didn't try, but I believe that was the case. Do you know, there's no way for us to get into the Holy of Holies. There's no way for us to enter presence. There's no access point unless salvation is offered to us. In his goodness, in his kindness, Jesus makes a way. He opens the gate. He is the gate so that we can walk in. Jesus dying for us on the cross opens the way. His goodness and kindness offered to us so that our heart can be right with God. And his spirit can start working on our heart. Yeah? It's an amazing thing. Oh, sorry, that was strange. By his death, Jesus opened a new and living way through the curtain into the most holy place. Jesus died so that we could gain access. And when you've got access all areas. You know, you've got that kind of badge. I got access all areas, access all areas. I don't know, that's probably something from Wayne's World, which rather dates me. But anyway, let's move on. Great film, but yeah, anyway, leave it there. But the access all areas, you can go in, access through Jesus. Through Jesus. He's opened that up for each one of us. And then we become his people. We become his treasured possession. We become all that he wants us to be. He, by his goodness, invites us to be part of this. So if you're not a Christian today, take hold of this. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time of the Lord's favor. Make that step. We've got a little bag down here you can take away to read and think more about what that means. But I just want to finish up by just applying this. Because you're sitting there You've learned what goodness is. You've learned where you're going to find out about goodness, but how you're going to put it into action. Because it's about heart and life. How are you going to put it into action? You see, as one pastor that I remember listening to, he said, it's about going and do something. You need to do something. And faith is spelt risk, John Wimber said, and go and do something, risk something. Be goodness in the world today. So just briefly, we're going to look at this passage. Don't worry, I'm not going to take ages on this, but I am going to read it, which is the Good Samaritan. So if you go to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 25. One day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking this question, "Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus replied, "What does the law of Moses say? How do you read it?" The man answered, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "Right," Jesus told him. "Do this, and you will live." The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along. When he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine, bandaged them, then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here." "Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits?" Jesus asked. The man replied, "The one who showed him mercy." Then Jesus said, "Yes, now go and do the same." I just want to just briefly just take this story and just think a little bit about it. So this was Jerusalem to Jericho. I've walked down that road. It is certainly desolate. It is a road which was famous for having bandits. It was bandit country. And what happens is the priest and the Levite, these were the religious people, they would be expected to be people that would care for others. And what do? They walk by. They're not interested in doing anything. Perhaps it was because they would be unseen. No one was going to see them there if they did anything. So no one would say, "Weren't they good?" It was also going to be costly. It would make them impure. And so they chose to do nothing and walked on. Goodness not offered. I wonder today, what about us? Is it just about looking good? Is it about an outward show? Or are we interested in actually getting involved in a world around us that so desperately needs love and goodness of God? And then the Good Samaritan comes along. Now, there's no such thing as a Good Samaritan. And actually, in the New Living, it says he was despised. He was. Samaritans were despised by the Jews. This was the surprising, least expected person to show kindness and goodness. I don't know what the church is thought of by the world. I think sometimes we do have a good reputation in showing kindness and goodness. But I think in other ways, not at all. I think we've got a lot of work. I just this week sat on a youth work network, and I was absolutely devastated to hear that the people from the LGBT group have been so trolled, abused, given a hard time, threatened on social media, online, that they've had to take themselves completely off. And I suspect there may well be some Christians amongst that who thought it was a good idea to just go after them. They are loved friends of God. They are loved people of God that we want to love and bring good news to. They haven't responded to that yet, but if that's the way we treat people, and I'm not saying we have, I'm just saying we could, then we need to be very careful. Because are we really showing the love of God? And when I was at the city square, I made a deliberate choice as I went round running my little stall, that I went round all the other stalls and sought to bless them and ask how they were doing. Yeah, not somehow contaminated by meeting people who have different beliefs to us, different ideas to us, but we can show them the love and goodness of God. And they so desperately need it. This girl was so hurt, and I felt so upset for her. You see, the Samaritan sees the man. That's the first thing. He sees the man. Do you see the people around you? When I go out with Karen, she often sees the homeless. I tend to walk by. I tend to turn my gaze. But she sees them. So much so that one time we bought a new jacket in Tysos for a lot of money. I remember. And then we walked out. And then Karen goes, I'll give it to him. I'm like, what? She saw the man. The Samaritan sees the people around. And what does it then say? He felt compassion. Do you feel compassion for people around you? If not, you need to ask God, give me your heart for others. Because if we don't feel any compassion for anyone else, then we're not going to really make much difference. You know? We need to have compassion. Compassion that comes because our hearts breaks. And why does it break? It breaks because God's heart breaks. And therefore we have compassion for those around us. So he has compassion, but then he doesn't just go, bless you, and walk on. No, he gets down, he bandages his wounds, he gets involved, he gets his hands dirty. He doesn't just stand on the sidelines, he gets right involved. He loves him and puts him on his donkey and then leads him back. And then the final thing is that he takes the guy, and the guy's in his in the inn for the night, and then he gives the equivalent of 2 days' pay to cover all his expenses. That would be the equivalent of around £150. This is costly. If you want to be a person who's going to be a person of goodness, it's costly. It's not just a wee post on social media. Hope you're all doing great, guys. Wonderful day. God is good. Yeah, that's nice and might have some effect, but actually, if you're going to get involved in the world as Jesus would have us, then you're going to cost you something. It's going to cost you financially. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you a bit of muck on your hands. And sometimes it's a bit complicated and a bit messy, but that's okay because God's in mess. And a bit of complication. He'll sort that out because his spirit gets involved. So that's where I wanted to leave you. Goodness. Goodness. Fruit of the Spirit given from God. The goodness of God brings us to God, but then pushes us out to reach others, to make a difference. What about being difference makers? What about the testimonies and stories of the difference we can make? Now, some of you are thinking, yeah, I know, but I'm not an evangelist. And you are. And I am. And I accept that. But hey, look, let's try this for a laugh. Right, next time you get a coffee, buy the next person behind you their coffee. Just for a laugh. Just do it. Just say, I'm buying theirs to the person in the shop. Oh, and if They're like, oh, that's weird. I don't know what they're going to get. Just put some money on the counter and see what happens. It's a bit surprising. It's a bit like, what's going on here? Why not have someone round to a meal that you've not spoken to for a while? Or just surprise them and say, why not come round to ask for a meal? Share a bit of hospitality, a bit of love. Why not write a card to someone who you think's just a bit lonely at the moment and just say, thinking of you. And just hope everything's okay with you. Love to have a chat. Just simple things. That's not about being evangelist. That's just be a human being that God loves and works through. And anyone can do that, you know? And I've got 4 books here which basically talk about doing that. Bless someone, eat with someone, listen to God, put it into action. And he's got a little acronym, BELLS. Who wants one? Honestly, I'm just giving them away. Right, have one, have one, have one, have one. You put your hand up there. Now, what you've got to do is once you've got it, right, I want you to read it and give it to someone else. Right? So this is the book that is a blessing, right? Pass it round. Right? All right? I'm sorry, some of you may have been disappointed there. But come back next week and we'll have another book. No. Those who got the book, you make sure you read it and hand it on, right? And do that. We're going to just pray. See what God wants to do.